We're going to read Psalm 100 together, just thinking carefully about the words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Thank you, Chris. Well, good morning again. This morning, our focus is Thanksgiving. If you haven't already worked that out from all that we've been doing, it's wonderful to see this display of food before us because it's a way of responding. It's a way of showing our thanks in a practical way. And sometimes thanks can be easy words. And when I say easy, it means we can just say thank you, but we don't actually mean it. It's really interesting being around the schools, the school gates, and just seeing different people's interactions with children. My parents brought me up to say please and thank you. And we try and instill that in our children. They're not so good at doing it home, but they're generally very good when there's an external audience around. But actually, I think saying please and thank you is going a little bit out of fashion. And I've realized something I've always prided myself on has kind of gone out the window because of Alexa. Who has an Alexa at home? Yeah. How often do I demand of Alexa that it gives me the news or my schedule for the day, and I never say please or thank you? Now, that doesn't sound very important. It's a computer. But I've realized that it's actually leaving my vocabulary because I talk to Alexa so often, you know, for these things, and I just do it as a command. But having said that, is saying please and thank you even that important? I mean, it's probably not if we don't really mean it. If it's just a nicety, if it's just a cultural thing, we always say please, we always say thank you. Surely it's only of real value if we mean it. So this morning, we are going to focus on giving thanks to God, and we're going to do it in a different way. I'm not going to stand here for 20 minutes or whatever and talk. I'm going to talk for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to have a responsive time of giving thanks. And then we're going to have a time of communion, which is another way we can express our thanks of God, which Neville is kindly going to lead for us. And then we're going to have a final section where we're going to think about thanking God when we are struggling and when it really is hard to say genuine thanks to God. So it will be a little bit different, but hopefully you'll see that it's not going to be a really, really long message today. It's going to be broken up and done in a slightly different way. The first thing I want us to focus on, though, is giving thanks for the ordinary. And you'll notice I've put ordinary in quote marks, because I think there are so many things that are just part of our daily life that we don't really give much thought to. I don't think these are ordinary things. I think they are actually extraordinary things, but we treat them as ordinary. We take them for granted. And as a result, we forget to say thank you. So in front of us, this fine display of food, and as you can see on the picture, the supermarket is a great example of things we take for granted. One of the reasons that we are calling this a Thanksgiving Sunday rather than Harvest Thanksgiving is because actually in this country, we've kind of become a bit detached from the harvest. I wouldn't want to guess, but I'm willing to bet that a number of these products, probably a significant number, aren't even produced in this country. So straight away, you can see there's been a shift in this country that we're not producing as much ourselves anymore. Most of our exposure to the harvest, unless you happen to have been brought up in a farming family, is going to the supermarket and finding what you want and pulling it from a shelf. We take for granted the transport that brought it to that supermarket. We take for granted the technology that has packed it and preserved it for us. We take for granted the farmers and the expertise and the knowledge that has been able to produce those foods originally, wherever that was in the world. And I'm certain that we forget about the wonder of nature that's involved in that process because we're so far detached from it. That amazing seed that can grow enough to fill a field with food, can grow enough to fill our bellies. The rain, the sun, all these seasonal things that are needed, which that wonderful hymn we've just sung remind us of. What about another thing we might take for granted? It's church. Now, I know a church is not a building. It is God's people. But normally, we center around a building. And in this local part of God's global church, Fairfield, as it is currently known, it's had different names in the past, we are celebrating 75 years of this community. 75 years. Isn't that wonderful? This year. And if you have time afterwards, perhaps over your tea and coffee, if you go to the foyer near the coffee window, you'll see a display. And it's got some wonderful pictures with a few little taglines showing you that some of the things about the history of the church, some of the ministries that have been run over many years, and even some nice photos of Northwood. So you can see that while the church has changed, it has changed in response to the community that it's in. Northwood Hills has changed immensely, as you'll see. So I'd really encourage you to go and take a look at that. And I haven't spoken to Jeffrey about it, but he knows a lot more about the history than I do, and I know Howard White as well. There will be others in the church. If you have any questions, I'm sure they'd be very happy to tell you a little bit more about some of the history of the church. But we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for what God has done and what God is continuing to do at Fairfield. Let's think about this church. How many hundreds of people have been part of this fellowship over 75 years? How many different ministries have they been involved in serving in? How much change has there been historically in this context, in this culture, during that time? What different challenges has the church had to face in that time? And what opposition has there been at different points? What struggles? The vision to move from a smaller building to a new building to a new building to build those projects. What did that cost? What sacrifice did that involve? And underwriting it all is God, leading faithful, sacrificial, serving believers. And he is at work today here. And we can be thankful for this community just as we can be thankful for the community of yesterday. So this morning, we might have turned up here, not paid much thought to where we're going, taking it for granted. I want you to look to your left. All right, you're probably seeing the back of someone's head now. I didn't think this through. Look to your right. Okay. If you can, look behind you, look in front of you. And I know, hello, people on YouTube. We have people viewing us online as well. We are the church today. We need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Things that we take for granted, people we take for granted. Okay. Some other things that we might take for granted are pointed out to us by the psalmist. Psalm 100. He starts in verses 1 to 3 saying, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God." Great way to start. Why should all the earth praise him? Why should we worship him? He goes on to tell us in verse 3. "Because it is he, God, who made us. We are his. We are his people." Do we take that for granted? You know, it's easy to be grateful and thank God and praise God for the good things around us. But how does God view us? His good creation that he made, but who are rebellious and sinful and seek to live as God of our own life and turn our back on him, even as Christians, again and again, we sin. And yet, he doesn't disown us. Do we take for granted the fact that despite our fallenness and our sinfulness and our indignancy in God's face and our just turning away from him, that he still says that we are his and we are his people? So much so that he goes on to offer us care and meet our needs. The sheep of his pasture, it's described as. Imagine if you're the owner or a shepherd of sheep. You provide good pasture. Pasture is the food, the resources, all the good things that a sheep needs to thrive. And God gives us all of that. When we pray to God, do we take that for granted? What is happening when we pray? I think verse 4 gives us insight. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we pray, we are coming into the courts of the King of Kings, the one and only God. The courts being a description of the inner part of a castle or a kingdom where people are closest to the king. And whenever we pray, and we can do that at any time, in any place, we are coming into his courts. Now, we are fallen, broken, sinful, rebellious humanity. I would imagine having to come into the courts of the King of Kings, if I'm brave enough to do it, with shame, with fear and trepidation. And yet here the psalmist says we can go into his courts with praise, thanking him with a confidence. Do we take that for granted? What a privilege. And then verse 5. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This love God has for us, this provision, it isn't just for today. It isn't just for this temporal life. It isn't just for our forefathers, our ancestors, and for us today, but for the next generations, my children, my grandchildren, children's children, children, and for me beyond this short life here on earth forever. So what we're going to do now, just for a couple of minutes, is respond. Hopefully I've stirred your mind to some of those things that we might be taking for granted. There may be other things. Certainly for this church, but other things. I'm going to ask us to call out short prayers. Call them out loudly. I'm aware you may not all be able to hear, but call them out loudly. And we're going to just do that for a couple of minutes. Anything that's on your heart. Thanking God for those things we might take for granted. And then I will draw that section to a close. So let's pray. So Father God, we do thank you for all the things we've prayed and all those things that perhaps we're praying silently in our heart. Bring us a fresh appreciation. Lift those blinkers from our eyes to see your blessings in those things we treat as ordinary day by day. Be it from the blessing of education and health and shelter and food, clean water, a beautiful country, wonderful people, relationships around us, purpose in this life, skills and gifts and opportunities. There are so many things, Lord Jesus. Help us to see all your blessings and to be people who make giving thanks to you a lifestyle. We pray in your name. Amen. Wonderful. So we're going to have move to our next point now, which will be on our slides coming up in a second. So we focused on thanking God for the extraordinary. These are the things that are clearly normally recognized by us as extraordinary. But again, perhaps sometimes we take these things for granted as well. And Neville's going to lead this section, but I just wanted to start with a couple of verses that I think summarize and help us prepare for communion. John 3:16, the gospel in a verse here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's just think about the love there. The love God must have had to do that. This is not me saying, oh, I love this or I love that. It's not a superficial thing. This is a deep and costly love. This is not an ordinary love. I'm going to suggest this is an extraordinary love. Remember, we are sinful. We are rebellious at heart. And yet God died for us. God loves us. Romans 5, 7 to 8. Very rarely, the Apostle Paul tells us, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Extraordinary grace, extraordinary mercy, extraordinary forgiveness that achieves for us, makes the way clear for us to be forgiven, to receive eternal life, to be in relationship with God. We're going to respond to this through our taking of communion, so I'm going to hand over to Neville now. Thank you, Neville.